I will hand over to Mbali to indicate the names of the members who have joined the meeting. Over to you, Mbali. Thank you.
Good morning, members. In the meeting, we have Dr. Jacobs, Mr. Monyai, Ms. Gela, Mr. Sokacha, Ms. Wilson, Ms. Ishmael, Dr. Tembekwayo, Ms. Shira, Mr. Fanstad, and Mr. Imam Sheikh. I don't have any apologies.
Thank you, Ms. Makubane. My name is Yogazi Machalamba, and my role today is to preside over the election of the chairperson. According to the National Assembly Rule 158, the committee must elect one of its members as the chairperson of the committee. I will therefore call for nominations. Any nominations, members? Can you please raise your hands? Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Munyai.
Thank you very much for this opportunity that you have given me, chairperson of this session. I rise to nominate Dr. Jacobs as our new chairperson. He is the only qualified, most qualified in this portfolio committee. He possesses more than 6 degrees in medicine, which no one in this portfolio committee possesses. So therefore, I think he demonstrated his hard work, sheer hard work than any other one, as he shared this portfolio committee before in the absence of Dr. Zomo, our former chairperson, who's now the deputy minister. That's my nomination, chairperson of the session. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Munyai. Is there a seconder?
Yes. Mr. Machalamba, I want to second Honorable Munyai for nominating the name of Dr. Janet Jacob as our new chairperson of the portfolio committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Keller. Are there any further nominations? Dr. Tembekwayo?
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm just reporting that the EFF is not taking part in this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Tembekwayo. Are there any further nominations? Ms. Gela and Dr. Tembekwayo, your hands are still up. Can you please lower them?
My apology for that.
I will ask again, are there any further nominations? There are no further nominations. Are there any objections? There are no objections. Dr. Jacobs, you are elected as the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Congratulations. You can chair the meeting. Thank you.
Malibongwe.
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 Thank you, Ms. Machalamba, and honorable members, for all of your confidence. Let me just start by saying good morning to all of the honorable members and all other persons present in our meeting. I want to express a vote of thanks to Ms. Machalamba, and who is our portfolio committee secretary, for a clear election process, for the work she has done in the past for the portfolio committee, and the work that she performs for us all of the time. I also want to thank our previous acting chairperson, Honorable Chinichi Munyai, for a sterling job he has done over the past few weeks, including leading a very successful oversight visit to KZN and to Gauteng. Also wish to thank our first chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of the 6th Parliament, Dr. Sibongiseni Dhlomo, for setting a very good tone and for taking us forward. And we will continue with the good work that you have performed, Honorable Dr. Sibongiseni Dhlomo. And let me also remind ourselves of our roles and our responsibilities as members of this portfolio committee. You have now expressed a confidence, which I am very thankful for. And the work that we will be doing is very well expressed in the vision and the mission statements of the 6th Parliament. And I want to sum it up as the following: it being an activist, responsive people's parliament to improve the quality of life of all of South Africans by ensuring enduring equality in our society. Our roles here in this committee are the same as for parliament in general, since we are an extension of a function to a smaller working group. We must be reminded that we represent the people. We must ensure government by the people. We are here to pass laws and to oversee executive function. Let us work together in harmony, mutual respect, and dedication to the work set before us. I thank you once again. I will now continue to what we are set out to do for today. We will have to move on to the business of the day. And we were going to have presentations from two groups today, and unfortunately, one group has asked for a postponement, which we will have to consider again within the calendar, and that we were going to then have to postpone until about 11:15, or maybe until 11:15, honourable members, because the second group, which was a SAHO, which was initially set down to present at 11:30, is also not able to come earlier, so that we could have gone straight into that presentation also. Before I continue, I see the hand up of Honorable Sheikh Imam, and then also the hand of Honorable Anagela. Thank you. And Honorable Chili.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Allow me at the very outset to congratulate you on your appointment as the Chairperson, and I know what best interests of the people of this country, no doubt about that. Chairperson, the second thing is that I just want to apologize that I'm trying to attend three different meetings simultaneously. So I've got three devices open, so I may be in and out. But lastly, Chairperson, I want to appeal to you, Chairperson. You will agree with me that there's so much of conflicting news going around in terms of anti-vaxxers, those promoting vaccines with ivermectin and so much. I want to plead to the community, Chairperson, if we could create a platform under this portfolio committee, Chairperson, so that we get those experts that are giving us a different view to come and engage with people like SEPRA, so we as members of the portfolio committee can interrogate both of them, so the public can be well informed as to what is going on. There is so much of fear. People are dying out of fear, I think, more than even COVID, and that's the problem we got. My plea to you, sir, is if we can get both sides to come to portfolio committee, let them agree to disagree, but give us information that will convince the public that they are in good hands. That's my plea, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sheikh Imam, Honorable Anagela, followed by Honorable Chilitsi Bonyoy.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to congratulate you as our new portfolio chairperson, and also I have a confidence in your new responsibility. I don't doubt you are capable. You are very strong. You are a doctor and also a specialist, family, physician, specialist sports physician, medical bio chemist, a postgraduate and undergraduate degree from four South African University. If I can just mention them, University of Stellenbosch, University of Cape Town, University of Pretoria, University of Western Cape, a secretariat of ministerial task team on DCSTs, a member of PHC re-engineering task team, a lecturer and facilitator at health sciences, a faculty of Stellenbosch University, a lecturer at other high institutions in medical and also health field, a clinician. So in that, I think as Honorable Nyai nominated you, he indicated that you are capable and really you deserve this portfolio, this position. I don't have a doubt, even myself. As a portfolio committee, as African National Congress, we will support you, our new chairperson. We'll continue to work with you as to make sure that we save the life of our people of South Africa. With those words, you are warm welcomed in this portfolio. And you've been here since we started this term of parliament. And we know that you are capable and you have our support as members of this portfolio. Good luck to your new journey as our chairperson. Thank you.
Again, with me. Thank you very much indeed. But in my 1 week tenure as the acting chairperson, Honorable Sheikh Imam brought the matter that is raising before you this morning. And I must second him. I have no doubt, Honorable Chair, that engagement in this platform of Portfolio Committee of Health should not be denied. And I agree with his concrete proposition that also SAPRA should be here. But of course, in final analysis, we'll all be led by science. Let me talk to the issue that I really raised to talk about, my hand to talk about. I must say, Honorable Chairperson, you are a very capable person. Let me congratulate you from the bottom of my heart. And as a cadre of our movement, as ex-combatant of our liberation struggle that many may not know about. You have led us successfully in this portfolio committee during the public hearing a number of occasions when our former chair would have network problems. I don't remember, without exaggeration, I don't remember from the first parliament up to the sixth parliament, there was no one who was so qualified as a good selves before this portfolio committee. There was no one at a particular point from the first parliament up to the sixth parliament who possessed six medical degrees. And I'm sure Honorable Gelatu went to detail, tried to expand on those details of your qualification from the academia, scientist and medical doctor as well, and also supported. By the way, you are the only doctor that has Springbok jersey. I will advise that one day when you debate in parliament, you have to wear that Springbok jersey as a symbol that you have been involved in a sport medicine to support our national team. From the ANC point of view, we are so excited that here you will serve everybody, as you always did. You saw that the opposition, if from their benches, they never raised any other name. That's the sign of competence across all the political party spectrum, including the parties that really did not field any candidate or that did not participate. It's a sign of confidence in your good self. So from the ANC point of view, we are very excited that the cadre that the ANC has deployed or has forwarded for to be elected is somebody that's capable, the most advanced medical doctor, scientists and academics, and a medical professional. Thank you very much indeed. We congratulate you as the African National Congress and as well as this, as a member of the portfolio committee that will continue to lead us successfully going forward. Thank you very much, Dr. Jacobs, for your new assignment and new deployment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Munya, such kind words, Honorable Hansade.
Have you noted the hand, Honorable Jefferson?
And followed by Honorable Sukacha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Now, from the Freedom Front Plus side, I just want to congratulate you on your position as the new chairman of this portfolio committee. I think your degrees that you have after your name and your qualifications speak of itself. And I think it's duly noted and it's time that we have a chairperson at the head of this committee who is duly qualified in medicine and in science to take this committee forward. Voorzitter, laat my net toe om 'n woord van Afrikaans ook te spreek vanoggend, en dit is om vir u te sê, ek denk by die volgende debat moet u wel daar die springbok try aantrek na die nationale vergadering toe. En onthou, as u klaar vir die politieke loopbaan, moet u definitief terugkeer na die springbokspan toe. Baie dankie.
Baie dankie, eerbare van Stader. Ek sal nou allemaal se brave woorde aanspreek. Thank you very much. Honorable Sukacha.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Jefferson. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I don't want to go the length as other comrades to read a long speech, but I just want to say congratulations. You will get our support. You deserve the position. And myself and you are coming a long way. We have been together at some stage in the Department of Health in the Northern Cape. We have been Team Northern Cape. You have been extremely, extremely excellent in, and you are back in your own field now to run the, and in the Northern Cape, you are running the NHI. So you are well experienced in these fields. Well done. You will definitely get our support. But I just want to disagree with Honorable von Staden. Kan nie opere terugbring nie, Honorable von Staden. Honorable Doctor is oud, nee. Kan nie meer rugby kom speel nie, man. Yes, as young men, bye, thank you, Doc. Geniet your voorzitterskap, Doc. It's alternatively understanding, great. Thank you.
Nooit uit voor rugby, nie, voorzitter. Nooit.
Bye, thank you. Honorable members, are there any other hands before I give some remarks?
Sorry, Chair. Can I say something?
You're very welcome.
I've noticed that Ms. Chris Glober, who is representing Sa'au, has joined the meeting. Maybe we should check with him if he is not ready to present now. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me, before I do that, let me first thank this opportunity to
remain. Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Mashewa. Good morning, honorable members. And congratulations to our chairperson. I have confidence with you and wishing you a very well journey for this, because you indeed in this department for a long time, I have a trust to you. Thank you very much for accepting this task. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other hands? Honorable members, before I move on.
And thank you, Chair. Just a short congratulations for your new appointment. We are fully support you, behind you. You are well deserved. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Siwela. You can also maybe switch feature on your video, Honorable Siwela. We'd like to see you, and we also welcome you. Let me first do that before you speak. Very welcome to our portfolio committee and honorable members. Honorable Siwela has been is a new addition to our portfolio committee. We will have a lot of talks with him in the future. Very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, Chair, and good morning, colleagues. I am new on the portfolio committee. Equally to say, congratulations to you, Dr. Jacobs. Hoping that we are going to work very well with you. I'm looking forward to learn from you and all the colleagues in the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think we will move on now. I'm going to say again all of those kind words. And Honorable Sheikh Imam, I've heard your request. It is something that I will discuss with our secretary, and we will discuss, take it further. And we've also heard that Honorable Munyai has made the same request. To each and every one, I'm not going to name all of you, but I most certainly am very proud to have earned a Springbok jersey and blazer. And so, yes, as, I have actually been hiding it for a little while. I will definitely wear that to one of our sittings in Parliament. I appreciate it. We will work very well together. I know what my role is as a chairperson, and I am also fully aware that I would have to have a non-political hat on and be neutral in terms of the work that we were doing. And I can assure you that I will do that to the best of my ability. Thank you very much. I will now come to the point that our secretary has raised, that Mr. Chris Klopper from SAU is on the platform, and we can possibly hear from him whether they are ready to present. Mr. Klopper?
Good morning, Chair. Thank you from my side. I am ready to present, and thank you for the, let's say, for the hospitality to be able to join this particular forum, and also, you know, to witness your election as the new chairperson. And congratulations from our side as well.
Thank you very much. So before we then continue with your presentation, members, there are some things which I have to do. We already addressed attendance. I think before I continue, just to confirm, any apologies, Ms. Majalamba?
No, Chair, I haven't received any apologies. Thank you.
Thank you. And then, honorable members, I have to remind you of a few things before we move forward. And just allow me to actually open that. Remember that I welcome all of you and all other people who are on this platform to this virtual meeting of this committee. I would like to remind you that this virtual meeting is deemed to be the precinct of Parliament and therefore constitutes a meeting of a committee of the National Assembly for official purposes only. In addition to the rules of virtual sittings, the rules of the National Assembly, including the rules of debate, apply. Members enjoy the same powers and privileges that apply in a sitting of the National Assembly. Members should equally note that anything that is in the virtual platform or on the virtual platform is deemed to have been said to the House and may be ruled upon. All members who have logged in shall be considered to be present and are requested to mute their microphones and only unmute when recognized to speak. This is because the microphones are very sensitive and will pick up noise which might disturb the attention of other members. When recognized to speak, please unmute your microphone and connect your video. Members may make use of the icons on the bar at the bottom of the screens, which has an option that allows a member to put up his or her hand to raise points of order. The secretary will assist in alerting the chairperson to members requesting to speak. When using the virtual system, members are urged to refrain or desist from unnecessary points of order or interjections. We will now continue with a presentation by SAWU. I understand it to be a teachers' union. And if I am correct, it's probably South Africans on the base. Mr. Klopper can correct me if I am wrong. I have also noticed that you have been given the co-hosting rights. So I would assume, Mr. Klopper, you'll be able to slide your presentation to us now. Thank you very much. And we can proceed. You have 45 minutes to make your presentation. We'll have an additional 30 minutes for questions and for your responses. And if I look at the time now, 10:23, you should be counting your first 45 minutes as from now. Thank you very much. Please continue.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you for the privilege to be able to address you. Be assured that we do not take it for granted, that we understand the gravity of the matter, and that we fully will comply with all your, let's say, rulings during the meeting itself. Chairperson, from our side, I noted that you were elected as the new Chairperson of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, and from our side as well, we record our congratulations to you, and we trust that it will be a fruitful tenure at this particular committee. Colleagues and Chairperson, the issues that we would like to address are the following. We would like to just convey to you the underlying principles of our submission, our support for the principle of a public health sector that portrays the principles of quality and equality. We would also like just to talk a bit about the perceived problems in the public health sector and the implementation of the National Health Insurance, and we would focus on funding, the quality of facilities and services, and then also quality of governance and management. We would like to speak about the position of medical schemes, the question of healthcare being dependent on quality staff, the principle of public-private partnerships as an absolute requirement, and then what reforms in the private healthcare we would like to see take place. And then also just speak a bit about GEMS as a condition of employment, not only for teachers, but also for all other public servants. And then the question of constitutional challenges if the NHI continues in its current vein and the current envisaged format. The underlying principles of the SAU submission, the following. Chairperson, we have a record of cooperation with authorities. And we desist from the notion of some organizations just to criticize and not provide any, let's say, constructive proposals that can be considered as improvements. So this is not a critique. This is, let's say, the commencement of a process of discussion to make sure, you know, that at the end of the day, we have something that all citizens in South Africa can be proud of. We will also say that don't fix what isn't broken. We would focus on optimizing that which is controllable and which is within the grasp of all of us. We would like to say that we need to optimize the public health sector. A very important point we'd like to make, Mr. Chairman, is to say that we must establish calmness in regard to NHI planning and implementation, that we need to create synergy and symbiosis, and that affordability is of absolute importance. Mr. Chairman, with those few words of introduction, we would like to commence with our submission. The principle of quality public health care. We fully support the principle of a quality public health system for all. I just want to take my picture away. It's standing in front of some of the words I'd like to say. We subscribe the content of Section 27 of the Constitution, and that is that everyone has the right to healthcare services, and that the state must take reasonable legislative and other measures within its available resources to achieve the progressive realization of each of these rights, and that no one may be refused emergency medical treatment, and we know that the Constitutional Court has ruled on that matter as well. Mr. Chairman, when I say problems with regard to the public health sector and the NHI, I say this with respect, and the question is that we see this as one of the problems that that the NHI and the public health sector needs to contend with. We see that the NHI bill is silent on the real cost implications, and we do not want to enter into a debate on the costing because, you know, the debate is how long is a piece of string, and it depends on where you start measuring and where you start calculating, except to state that it seems as if the envisaged cost will be exorbitant, and therefore that the focus should be on affordability and that which is within the affordability framework of the current budget. We also say, Mr. Chairman, that schemes similar to the NHI are successful in countries with a broad tax base. In South Africa, we have 5.5 million taxpayers. They contribute to the fiscus in terms of a very high tax rate. And I'd like to point out the Laffer curve. And the Laffer curve is that at a particular point in the raising of taxes, you do not create any further income for the central fiscus. And it's important to note that, and there are many commentaries that say that we are very close to the, let's say, to the pinnacle of the Laffer curve. In South Africa, the maximum personal tax rate is 45%. The company tax rate is 28%. The Africa maximum rate is 31.9%. The European is 38.3%. The OECD average is 41.7, and the global average is 31.2. So we see that the maximum tax rate in South Africa is already very high, and therefore the emphasis on the principle of affordability. From what we have read and from what we have discussed with some of the experts is that it seems if you look at the costing of the NHI, that the average tax rate will have to increase by 3 to 5% to be able to fund it in its current format. We would like to make the point, Mr. Chairman, to say that in light of the constitutional prescription that the state must take reasonable legislative and other measures within its available resources, that we need to consider more affordable options. And that is the plea that we would like to make. And I have read in newspapers, I've read on the social media, I have read on various websites that there are clear noises of a tax revolt or a boycott. And that is something that we need to avoid. We do not think it would be to the advantage of any citizen in South Africa. It is going to cause unnecessary conflict. And that is why you will see right throughout our submission is to say that isn't there a possibility of creating synergies with each other instead of working against each other? The point I'd like to make with regard to the quality of facilities and services, everybody thinks that the panacea or the utopia is that we must, let's say, shift everything to the private sector. But Mr. Chairman, with regard to the facilities and the services of the public health sector, we need to address perceptions. And those perceptions are the following. Why are private hospitals and facilities regarded as quality institutions? And the other question is, why is the quality of public facilities not of the same quality? And it almost seems as if there's a management or a governance issue that needs to be addressed. If you look at the perception of an irresponsible approach to maintenance, for example, the appearance of the facade, the buildings and the gardens. If you look at the Bella Bella Hospital, it's a small hospital, but the weeds and the grass and the bushes grow, you know, between the buildings. and it creates the perception of a substandard facility. I can assure you that my mother was in that particular hospital a few years ago, before it appeared as it appears now. And it was a quality institution. And I think that we need to address those issues of perception with regard to appearance. If you drive past the Bronkhorstspruit Hospital, the ambulances and the other vehicles, they stand the whole hospital yard full. And it creates the perception of a scrapyard. And people ask, why must I go to that particular institution? And that is something that we need to address, to get away from this perception that public facilities are substandard, because they are not. But we must address those perceptions. We agree with the principle of world-class academic hospitals. No one can refute the idea that, for example, Grote Skier is a wonderful facility. It's actually better than any private hospital. If you look at the other hospitals in the public sector domain, they're wonderful facilities. And the clinics in many of the rural areas, they are substandard. We need to address that as well. And that deals with the principle of a quality public health sector. And it addresses the principle that if you want quality, you must go to the private sector. That is why, Mr. Chairman, our proposal is that there must be a progressive investment in regard to buildings, facilities, and infrastructure. If we look what happened at the oncology department at the Charlotte Makeke Academic Hospital, where there was burglary and theft, that is something that is unacceptable, and that is blame that needs to be laid in front of the door of the management and the governance of that particular hospital, and it perpetuates the perception of substandard quality. We need to have an investment in equipment, get the best possible equipment, and proper maintenance programs at all the buildings and facilities. And Mr. Chairman, in my family, we have four people who work in public hospitals, and they only testify, you know, in glowing terms of the quality of care that is taking place there. But still the perception persists that if you want quality, you must go to the private sector, and I think that is something that we need to address. In terms of quality of governance and management, the following. We need to ask the question why taxpayers are hesitant to utilize public facilities. The fact that the Deputy President preferred Russia to go for treatment is an indictment. And it's something that, and I know that it may be his personal choice, but you know, it creates the perception of lesser quality in South Africa. And once, if we can't address that, we are not going to address the perceptions that will go hand in hand with your good intentions to implement the NHI. Medical facilities all require reasonable staff provisioning. And we need to get competent staff that focus on the detail. As in private hospitals, it must be done in terms of the best practice in terms of world-class standards. It's unacceptable that staff do their work in, let's say, a work environment that is not acceptable. We need management to focus on managing a facility according to the best world-class practices. And Mr. Chairman, management goes hand in hand not only with what happens between the four walls of a particular facility, but also the appearance and the perceptions in regard to that particular that particular facility. And governance that complies with the same standards required of JSE boards of directors. And that is something that we need to focus on as well. And it will create the it will address the perception with regard to substandard facilities. In regard to the position of medical schemes, the following, Mr. Chairman. The medical schemes fall under the authority of the Council for Medical Schemes. They service 7.7 million beneficiaries. According to which publications you look at, sometimes they speak about 8 million beneficiaries serviced by the 15 largest medical schemes. If we look and we read through the bill, Mr. Chairman, we need to ask the questions, why the need to destabilize 7.7 million persons in terms of medical care. And our approach would rather be to say, wouldn't it be better to utilize the 7.7 million as a basis to make sense of the fact that you already have 7.7 million people who have access to medical care? As the current approach in terms of the bill to prohibit services that may overlap with the NHI, Mr. Chairman, that particular notion will only lead to resistance and legal challenges. And our plea is, can't we look at better synergies, create a symbiosis with medical schemes and get something, you know, get the best of both worlds and create a win-win situation in regard to this particular matter? If we look at what the Health Market Inquiry report states, there are two considerations that we would like to point out. First of all, that the system of medical schemes can be made to work more efficiently without the need for government to take over the purchasing functions of the private health system. Mr. Chairman, that particular sentence contains a lot of possible conflict that can be avoided. The current fragmentation of the medical system can be addressed through the recommended pooling regimes, example, the risk adjustment scheme together with social reassurance and the mandatory minimum package. And I can assure you that many schemes are already busy with, you know, implementing a low-cost benefit option into their range of products. And in that way, you are creating and expanding the network of quality care for everyone. As suggested by the Health Market Inquiry, instead of creating the current turmoil and conflict, let's focus on the synergies and, you know, the symbiosis that we require. And unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, we cannot support the current NHI approach to medical schemes. We believe that there is enough space for them to exist next to each other, and we believe that it is possible to achieve a win-win situation. All we need to do is need to go and sit down, have a discussion, and I'm sure we can reach that. And I think this country has an excellent record of sitting down and creating, you know, opportunities for cooperation instead of turmoil and conflict. Mr. Chairman, healthcare is dependent on quality staff. And any health system ceiling is determined by the quality of staff. If you look at surveys by SAMA, South African Medical Association, and ProfMed, a medical scheme for medical people, SAMA represents 12,000 doctors and specialists, and 14% of them have commenced with the process of immigration as a result of NHI. And I'll come back to that a bit later. If you look at ProfMed, they represent 20,000 doctors and specialists. In the past 5 years, immigration as a result of the NHI, the following. You can read the 195 in 2016 to last year, 267. And the plea is from our side again, Mr. Chairman. Create an environment that medical staff see as non-threatening to their careers and where they are able to generate income that is comparable to other countries that also have NHIs. And these are the countries that our people are immigrating to: the UK, Canada, New Zealand, apologies for that spelling error there of Australia, and etc. So again, the question, Mr. Chairman, let's try to create, as with medical schemes, create an environment that they see as non-threatening and create a win-win situation. So that is our point. In terms of the latest surveys, the following. You can see that I am willing to work with government to develop a sustainable NHI. 21% agree. 43.6% do not agree. Everyone has the right to receive the same healthcare regardless of the ability to contribute financially, and the majority of people agree with that particular principle. So I think if you look at those two, there is more than enough room for cooperation. As a result of the envisaged impact of NHI, I have taken steps to immigrate. I agree. I don't agree. I don't know. You can see, you can look at those percentages. I will take steps to immigrate when NHI is implemented. And you will see that I agree is 35.9%. And neutral is 24.3%. I don't agree 15.3%. And I don't know 24.5%. Mr. Chairman, I concluded the previous slide with a plea to say that we must create the win-win situation, and I'd like to reiterate it at this particular stage. When the principle of public-private partnerships as an indispensable approach to the NHI. NHI in an adapted form, and this adapted form that I'm referring to, Mr. Chairman, is when we have a win-win situation with the private sector, we have a win-win situation with the medical staff. This will create an ideal opportunity for synergy. That means cooperation, collaboration, combined effort to improve. And you can see those slides that I've just shown there to show that stronger we are together, or that together we are much stronger. You look at those gears where everybody walks into the same direction, and it creates the opportunity for that particular synergy. Symbiosis is another fancy term for interdependence, harmony, mutualism, and perfect cooperation. And for example, like the buffalo and the ox picker that have this absolute symbiosis with each other, the one cares for the other, we would like to plead for that to take place in terms of an adapted NHI. And I think it's easy to do that. It's not that difficult. Public-private partnerships in the sphere of an adapted NHI that focus on synergy and symbiosis will create an environment that values its medical staff wherein they do not feel threatened on a professional level, and that members of medical schemes and the medical industry will desist from challenging the NHI on various grounds. So, Mr. Chairman, help me. And then, as I indicated to you, let's avoid the possibility of any tax boycotts or revolts. If we look at reforms in the private sector, Mr. Chairman, the following. The private healthcare is not a utopia. It is beset with many problems. The health market inquiry concluded that this particular sector of the healthcare market is characterized by high and rising cost and medical scheme cover. There's an excessive overutilization that we need to curb that. Hospital admission rates are excessively high because of overexploitation by the hospital groups. The facilities are concentrated in the three hospital groups, and we don't need to mention them now. And the administration market, there's a high level of monopolization that we need to address. And let's be honest, we can't see any reason why a medical scheme has to be administered by an external administrator. There's inadequate stewardship of the private healthcare sector. It needs to be regulated better. And there's also the DOH's failure to make use of their existing powers to manage, review, and regulate the sector. And I'm not speaking about medical schemes. I'm speaking about those facilities. The HMI is convinced that interventions will result in lower cost and prices. There will be more value for consumers, and it will address monopolization, and there will be increased innovation in the health sector. But this is something that you as the Portfolio Committee must also address. We note the statement by the Competition Commissioner that the Competition Act does not apply to the healthcare market. And therefore, we can't refer these recommendations of the HMI report to the Competition Commission. And this is a matter that needs to be addressed, Mr. Chairman. If we look at GEMS, the following. GEMS is the Government Employees Medical Scheme. It's the second largest scheme in South Africa. You can look for yourself there. 713.6 thousand members, and more than 1 million beneficiaries. Its birth was in terms of Resolution 1 of 2006, and I was part of those particular negotiations. We are aware of stern resistance in the PSCBC to the cancellation of the GEMS medical scheme. And again, there's an area, Mr. Chairman, if you can get the 1.4 million public employees behind you with regard to a win-win situation, you are well on your way to creating a public healthcare system that will actually assist everyone. You will see that the employer shall, with effect from 1 July 2006, pay to an employee 75% of the employee's total monthly medical contribution. That is substantial. And you will see that on salary levels 1, 2, 3, and 5, those employees who belong, who work in the public sector, and they join GEMS, they get it on a free basis. And then also important, Mr. Chairman, former employees, you will note that former employees also qualify for a two-thirds subsidy after retirement. So, Mr. Chairman, again, this is a strong group that you can get on your side instead of putting them on the opposite side of the table. And again, the possibility of a win-win situation is able for everyone to see. The last slide I'd like to make, Mr. Chairman, is possible constitutional challenges. We all know about the redirection of provincial powers to the national level and the circumvention of the powers of provinces. That is one of the areas of possible constitutional challenge. The establishment of a government component, and the contention is that the Department of Health doesn't have the power to do so and that it may be in conflict with the Constitution. The irrational prohibition of medical scheme coverage, something that I have spoken at length about. The elimination of the social protection offered by members, especially the question of the GEMS members, those on salary levels 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then the removal of the tax rebates for contributions to medical schemes. Mr. Chairman, the point I'd like to make is if you look at these are substantial issues. Rather, instead of going into this particular area, as I contended, let's look at the synergies. Let's look at a win-win situation. In conclusion, the following. Don't fix what isn't broken. Let's optimize it. Focus on optimizing that which is within which is in all of our control. Optimize the public health sector. We believe it is possible to create a public health sector that is comparable to the best the public sector can have. Establish calmness in regard to NHR planning. Mr. Chairman, I can't emphasize this enough. In the broader community, there is huge concern about the NHR. As I indicated, create synergy and symbiosis, and then affordability is paramount. Mr. Chairman, we would like to thank you for the opportunity to make this submission to you, and we trust that it will find favor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have any other members of your group here whom you would like to introduce? I should have done that a bit earlier. Would also be answering any questions, yes?
No, Mr. Chairman, it's only myself. I was mandated by our National Executive Council to make the presentation.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, you've just heard the presentation. Before I continue, I note the hand of Honourable Sukacha. Is that for you to ask any questions, Honourable Sukacha, or is there something else you want to raise?
It's for asking questions, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sukacha. So you will go on to the list. So, Honourable Members, I've had a little chat from Honourable Ismail, who says that he is having problems with the speaker of system. And so she wouldn't be able to ask any questions. If she wishes to, she can ask those questions, send them to me, and I will raise it on her behalf. We have the following members who will be asking questions in this order: Honorable Gela, Honorable Wilson, Honorable Munyai, Honorable Sukatra, in that order. And I think I see Honorable Gela's hand also up on the others on this platform. But Honorable Members, I have taken these names from our group where you normally indicate that you want to ask questions. At the moment, those are the three members who have raised their hands. Before I give hand over to Honorable Gela, any other member who wants to raise any questions with Mr. Copper? Any other member would want to ask any questions? Right. Honorable Gela, if you may start. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Firstly, let me welcome the presentation. And also, just to say to the presenter, we are welcoming your presentation. Although you keep on saying, let's not fix what is not broken. But I think we must fix when you check actually the system of our health previously and now. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed. Although already something has happened under this new democracy, we see a lot of changes, especially in our public health facilities. They are not the same like before during apartheid era. There's a lot of improvement in this regard. I just want to note that it's important for us to have NHI so that at least we balance the system, we balance what our people are expecting. And for that, this is a right move for us to implement NHI in our country to make sure that we all benefit equally, we all get service equally, despite of your conditions. But we need one health system that will make sure that at least everybody has a right for health care in our country. Coming to my questions, your anxieties about NHI destabilizing the medical schemes industry is noted. Section 33 states that only when NHI is fully implemented, medical schemes will be expected to provide a complementary cover. And Section 57 talks about the phased implementation of NHI. My question is, once the NHI is implemented, what is your opinion about people insuring against some healthcare cost twice? Will that not perpetuate the current inequalities, hereby threatening achievement of a universal health coverage? That will be my first question to the presenter. My second question: if SAOU says that tax increases will be between 3 to 5% to fund the NHI, what then does SAOU propose is the cost of NHI? And have you done a costing exercise to determine this? My last question can the presenter highlight who are the medical industry people or organizations who are challenging NHI on various grounds? The portfolio committee has received presentations from various industry players, and the impression received is that they make proposals on how the bill can be enhanced, and not that they will change the NHI. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Mr. Klopper for your presentation. It is appreciated. Just simply, a broad definition of national health insurance is the free access for all to quality health care. Do you agree, Mr. Klopper, that in actual fact, every person in South Africa indeed has access to free health care? That is, that they may go to any public hospital or clinic for care at any time, depending, of course, whether or not the facility is actually open, whether or not they have an income or not. So my understanding at the moment is that South Africans do have access to health care. But the question actually is, and the issue is, actually the quality of the health care that they receive. And this, in actual fact, is that the failure of health in South Africa. NHI at this stage, and you've mentioned it in your presentation, is that what we're actually trying to do here is rob Peter to pay Paul. In other words, we're going to increase the taxes and we're going to use the medical aid fund benefits to do so. But the question still remains. People have access to clinics and hospitals in this country free of charge. The fact that the quality of health care has deteriorated is an actual fact, the issue. But that in actual fact, in the broad sense, NHI is already in South Africa. I would like your comment on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Once more, congratulations again, Dr. Jacobs, in your new assignment. I was speaking earlier that since the first administration and up to the sixth administration of this parliament in this portfolio committee, we never had a doctor that has really six degrees in medicine. So that indeed you deserve your deployment or your responsibility. And good luck with your new assignment. My first issue that I need to raise before I could raise my question is that I always believe that the healthcare, the health of the presidency, or let me put it direct, of the deputy president is a national security. And I think you speak of democracy, that's why you belong to this organization of teachers, and yet the others will belong to others. So the freedom of choice is a very critical issue. I think we have a bilateral agreement with Russia, and if really there's some support the president would want, deputy president would want to get from Russia, I don't think you should be personal about it, because the president, deputy president, would have really have used that platform of bilateral agreement in the context of international relations. It is not a sign of less of confidence of any system within the Republic. And I think it, to use that example in your presentation, I don't find it kind at all. It's not even less confidence in South African's healthcare system. And what is broken is the two-tier system that currently we see here. Two tier systems that really benefit the rich and those that do have. That is the problem that we have. That's why we need national health insurance. And I think I'll elaborate further based on my question that I'm going to raise. Honorable Chairperson, can Mayor Chris Klopper clarify who are the participants in his studies that he presented there? Where implementation of the universal care health coverage program in the form of the NHI for all South Africans is regarded as a reason for them to emigrate? Why the immigration uses a threat when there's a new progressive policies that need to cover all South Africans need to be introduced? Then South Africans must be held ransom and threatened by immigration. Can I get some understanding where they will immigrate to, considering to the most countries are now implementing universal healthcare coverage policies? And what is their reasoning of opting to immigrate? Your organization appears to believe that the proposed reform of healthcare reform in South Africa health system seeks to destabilize the private sector, which I think it is subjective of reality, not even objective reality. Can Mayor Klopper please point out exactly where in the bill does this get articulated? Because we're talking about the bill that is before us, it is important to make reference to the bill. In slide 7, which talks about medical schemes, your organization seems to believe that the high cost of healthcare, which leads to the lack of access to the healthcare services by the majority of South Africans, is acceptable. Why? Can your organization clarify how healthcare could be made accessible to all South African residents if everyone endorses such indirect exclusion if healthcare remains so high? According to your organization or to your presentation, what has caused lack of growth of membership in the medical schemes industry, if it is indeed such a good reference of the South African healthcare system? I know in South Africa, there's been always a fear for democracy, fear for change. I know in the advent of democratic South Africa, most people have been threatened by Democrats and immigrated to South Africa and they sold a lot of their farmers. Now they are poor there in Australia. They regret why they sold their farmers, because there was the propaganda that the new progressive healthcare system was going to be a threat to their properties and to their healthcare. Now look what is happening. I'll appreciate if I can get some concrete clarity-seeking questions from Mayor Chris Klopper based on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Is it me?
It is you, Honorable Sekwesha.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just two questions from my side. Let me also welcome the presentation. My first question to Mr. Klopper, Honorable Chairperson, is that his concern about the government lack of response on the recommendations made by the Health Market Inquiry is noted. Can I please, Mr. Klopper, please clarify the following? Can I please clarify the following issues first? Did the Health Market Inquiry throughout consider universal health coverage and the National Health Insurance Bill in their investigation or not? I'm asking this question because universal coverage as proposed in the bill seeks to ensure financial protection for all, not just for one sector at the expense of the other sector. For example, how do you think the proposed risk adjustment mechanism and mandatory participation will respond to the health, financing and protection needs of the entire population? Then my second question, Chairperson, Mr. Klopper, your organization seems to be proposing that South Africa continues on the path with a fragmented and inequitable health system. Does this mean you support the position that the state must not do anything to address the historic inequalities that characterizes the health system to the detriment of the poor and vulnerable? Then my last question, Mr. Klopper, can you please highlight who are the medical industry people who, or organizations who are challenging the national health insurance on various grounds? The portfolio committee has received presentations from various industries, industry players, from very industry players, and the impression received is that they made proposals on how the bill can be enhanced, and not that they will challenge the NHI. I don't know where this thing of challenging the NHI is coming from. Those are my questions, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sukachka. Any other members before I will ask a few questions? Any other member who wants to ask a question or two? Thank you, Mr. Klopper. I have a few things I want to raise with you. And the very first one speaks about your discussions or your points you raise about the technical background. Actually, it's about the technical background of some of the points which you have raised. And so I have a number of sub-questions to this point. Now that you have argued that the average tax rate for NHI will have to increase by 3 to 5% to be able to fund the NHI funds. We have heard and read similar industry or similar statements from the private healthcare industry, where some stakeholders are using the current PMB's expenditure in the medical schemes to project the NHI costs, including double counting of NHI costs, which I believe is technically inaccurate. Please also note what the HMI said about the unexplained utilization and increase in expenditure on PMB expenditure. Now, the five questions with regards to those points are whether you can please email us your technical paper which explains what informs the 3 to 5% increase. We'd also like to understand technically what assumptions have you used in your technical analysis. What informed your actuarial and or econometric modeling to enable you to make this conclusion? Are these assumptions based on health, financing or economic policy positions within the white paper and the NHI bill? Or are you introducing new policy positions? Can you also inform us what are your views to Section 49 of the NHI bill and Chapter 7 of the NHI white paper? Now, I'm not clear what you really mean by quality staff as a set point in your presentation. Can I get clarity on your interpretation of the difference between quality staff versus non-quality staff, especially within our context where our healthcare workers are highly regarded and sought after globally? Then have a bit of a concern about your presentation seeming to conclude that the medical schemes industry is performing optimally and should be leveraged for NHI. What is your awareness of the HRMI report and the flaws identified with regards to the functioning of the private health sector? And if you are aware, is your proposal that these challenges be continued into the NHI environment? And very lastly, to your discussion on the GEMS medical scheme, the fact that you're only talking about their members for inclusion into a public health system, are you saying as well that it is fair to exclude members of other medical schemes from being included in the public health system? I think those are the points which I wanted to raise with you. I've given members an opportunity to raise any other questions which they had wanted to. I think we are done with asking you, raising any questions with you, and we're looking forward to your responses. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To be able to completely respond to all the questions, it would actually entail that we take another few minutes to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to address some of the issues that have been made, and I'd like to make that particular point. First of all, my submission was never intended that you must agree with each and every point. That is also part of the democracy, that we are entitled to differ from each other. And that is exactly what we are doing today, is we're making certain assertions. We are voting something, and we are entitled to differ from each other in regard to these particular points. First of all, Mr. Chairman, is that the point I'd like to make is, and you must bear in mind, that when the medical schemes make proposals, that they do not necessarily agree with everything that you put on the table. First of all, we all agree with the principle that there must be universal care to each and everyone. And as Honourable Member Wilson has stated, that in actual fact, we do have quality access. We do have access to universal health care. The problem is, it is not of the same quality. The point I'd like to make, Mr. Chairman, in regard to funding, and the funding issue, we have calculated that. We've used various people to assist us in this regard. I can give you their names actually prove that we have calculated this. They have made those calculations. And, for example, people like Professor Yanni Rousseau. We've used Professor Alex van der Heuvel. We participated in the FEDUSA broader public debate in this regard, where we included all the other unions in the public sector to make sure, you know, that we have a representative point. The point is, we do have access to universal health care. It is not of the same quality, and that we agree, and that is something that needs to be addressed. With regard to funding, the broad principle is, there are various options to fund this. It can be in the form of tax rebates. It can be in the form of increased personal tax. It can be in the form of levies. It can be in the form of, for example, increased corporate tax, or we can ask employers to also implement levies. Those are all issues that are on the table. The reality is that NHI in the current format is going to be expensive. We believe it is not affordable for the country at this stage, and we can see how we are battling with Eskom at this stage on how to deal with that particular debt. We agree that there are perceptions of inequalities between the private healthcare and the public healthcare, and that must be addressed at all costs. And we believe it is possible to do that. The question who challenges this? There are many organizations who are challenging this, Mr. Chairman. I don't need to mention their names. We have been in contact with some of them. We prefer not to be a challenging organization. We prefer to look for a win-win situation. And we will sit down at the opportune time and discuss with you how we're going to address that particular issue. And I think it is the day of coming together is coming closer, because it is necessary that we sit this, because this is not only just a political matter that can be discussed by the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee. It is time that we go and sit down with all stakeholders and decide how to deal with this particular matter. We agree that in the apartheid system, there was gross inequalities that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed as soon as possible. We have taken 25 years to actually reach to this stage where we've come to the conclusion that we are not at that stage yet. So it is time that we do that. We are not saying we do not need an NHI. We need an NHI in an adapted form that creates a win-win situation. The question that Honourable Member Sukachwa said, the proposing of inequitable, must the state not do anything? We agree that the state must do anything, and they must do it with what is within their power to do at this stage. But we believe it would not be fair to expect of the 5.5 million taxpayers to carry everything and do everything at this stage. They are prepared to make a contribution, but it must be a contribution that will be seen as a win-win situation. And medical schemes challenging this, Mr. Chairman, as I indicated to you, I have spoken to some of the medical schemes. Not all the medical schemes have made proposals, and the medical schemes are hedging their bets at this stage to see which direction this particular matter is going. The fact that there has been remarks made... Yes? Hello? Hello?
Are you there, Mr. Klopper?
What happened, Mr. Klopper?
It seems like all of us got lost on the system. Mr. Klopper, are you back?
Mr. Klopper must come back and answer all our questions. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Klopper, let me see if you're on the system. Ms. Majalamba has called me and she is not well. So I think Ms. Magubane, who is acting on Ms. Majalamba's behalf? Can you please get hold of Mr. Klopper?
Hi, Chair. We'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you. We will hold on, honourable members, to see if we can reconnect. A little bit of patience from your side. Thank you. I think you should just have a 5-minute stretch. It is now 11:20. Let us reconnect at 11:25 if you need to have the comfort break very quickly. Thank you.
Chairperson, the meeting is still on.
Yes, Honorable Gela, the meeting is still on. We are just trying to get hold of Mr. Klopper. We all seem to have suddenly lost our connectivity, but we are all back. We have given a short break until 11:25, that in 1 minute time. Maybe I can already get feedback from Ms. Ngubane. Ngubane, if they're getting hold of Mr. Klopper, I don't see him back on the platform yet.
Okay, Che.
Hi, Che. We're still trying to get hold of him. Thank you.
All right. Just keep me in the loop.
Thanks.
This is the challenge of one member presentation, Honorable Chair.
Exactly, Honorable Munyai. I am very tempted to say that they should respond in writing to us on the many questions raised. And I know there are still members who want to raise more questions with SAU. And I think we'll be a bit patient and give another 2 minutes and then see. Hopefully they can find him and he can rejoin us on the platform.
Hi, Chair. Unfortunately, yes. We are not succeeding in getting hold of Mr. Klopper.
All right. Thank you very much for your attempts. I think what we would do is we would write to them and ask them for their written responses to the points and the questions which were raised with him. And also the members who were wanting to ask any questions, they're very welcome to forward that also to yourself for further discussion or further references to the presenter. I see the hand of Honorable Munyai up. When we are done with the points which Honorable Munyai want to raise, we will be then adjourning our meeting. Thank you. Honorable Munyai?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. because if you know, we must avoid not allowing them based on technicalities, because they may go to court and say that they were not given an opportunity. I'm saying that we should make an attempt, if you find some time in the future, to come and conclude. Because, you know, if there was no communication from yourself as a final, you know, if you was here, you say, no, look, you know, some of the questions will be written to you for a formal reply. Because this bill is highly contested. Any technical issue may be used as evidence that we did not give anyone equal opportunity at court of law. That is my point. That if that sensitivity could be applied, so that Mr. Klopper, when they go to court, he said, I was cut off and then I was never given an opportunity. Something like that, you know?
Thank you.
I'm just putting a caution, because we're likely to be taken to court here.
Thank you, Honorable Munya. Your caution is well noted. I have already asked Ms. Ngumane to write to me, to write to our committee secretary, that we write to Mr. Klopper and his organization and ask their responses, and also to inform them that we had made attempts to contact him again when he was lost from the platform. And that any other questions which the members who I had two names put forward, which I had acknowledged, it was that of Honorable Dr. Hamad and a follow-up question from Honorable Munyai. You're very welcome to also forward those to the committee secretary, and we will be in further discussion then on this point. I think... Honourable members, just to say, I mentioned it earlier, our committee secretary has been a bit ill this past weekend and to this week, and I'm sorry for putting it here, it's because I had mentioned it earlier, and she has asked to be excused earlier on. And that is the reason why she was now not present at this point in time, and we wish her well and speedy recovery, and that she will, I mean, certain go and get some doctor's advice as to her illness. And with that said, honourable members, we've come to the end of this meeting for today. Please be reminded that we are meeting again tomorrow to get presentations from SAFRA and to also deal with the oversight visits report. And to have those adopted, and also have minutes of the previous meeting also adopted tomorrow. I think the time for tomorrow is 10 o'clock. I am just actually checking to make certain that I do have the right time, that I'm giving you the right time. 9:30. 9:30 tomorrow on the platform, and we'll see you all then. Thank you very much, and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you,
Chair.